I've been rocking and rolling here. 30 seconds almost.
Good Lord.
Well, aren't you fancy?
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW, a Transformers podcast by Transformers fans. My name is Vangelis, and I'm hosting today. I'm not going to lie. I've been really sidetracked these last couple of days by a show called Sweet Genius. I'll talk about that later. Joining me today is Aaron.
Who's been sidetracked by some norovirus, I think.
Yeah, so you're upholding the record that ever since it became 2013, nobody has been healthy. Single show, someone has not just been sick, but legit cripplingly sick. Last week, Seth Buzzard had to take off during what we got this week because it was getting the better of him. So, Aaron, what about you? How's that Nora gonna do?
Yeah, that's, I think I'm past the worst of it. Now I'm just trying to keep hydrated and maybe overhydrating myself, but after a day and a half of being afraid of getting too far away from a bathroom, that's probably not a bad thing.
Mass evacuation.
And I'll leave it at that. Yes.
Mass evacuation. That's all I got. Omegas, are you healthy?
Besides about a month of sleep deprivation, I think so.
Okay, so so you got sickness of the brain, and Aaron's got a sickness of the stomach. And
I'd say the whole gastrointestinal tract, not just the stomach.
And I have like a little cut inside my right ear, which is the most irritating thing to ever have.
Hashtag first world problems.
Man, what is wrong with us? All right, well, Omegas, I'm glad that you're not stricken with sickness, although I feel like I need to append the word yet at this point.
Yeah, well, no, okay. Two in my household caught the death flu, and I still managed to stay healthy. So I think I'm okay.
Knock on some wood and yell the word incubation period before you go to bed is what I'd recommend.
Just drink all the orange juice that you can. You're in Florida. Just go to a tree, grab an orange.
Go to a tree, grab a straw, stick it in the tree, inhale. Well,
I'm in Florida. That's how we start the morning. Yeah. We all have orange trees in the backyard.
That's what I saw in commercials. So oranges, man. I've been watching the show called Sweet Genius, and I think it's the best reality show that's been made in the last 5 years.
Because I'm not even sure it's a reality show.
It's being edited like a reality show. That's the best part.
I know, but it's technically it's a game show.
It's a game show with a really cordial, friendly host who's nice to everybody, even when they lose. Nobody's a poor sportsman, and so there's this poor editor trying like mad to manufacture all this like drama. And then the moment happens, everyone's still smiling and really polite to each other. And I'm just like, whoever this editor is must have like the worst job in the world or the best if they love irony. I don't know. But I wanted to bring this up because we're talking to Aaron here, and I remember Aaron brought up Alton Brown, and I got introduced to Sweet Genius on a stream that showed Sweet Genius and then Alton Brown.
Sean's been tweeting those out.
Mm-hmm. It was actually the Alton Brown one about how to spot good steak and how to not get overcharged on steak in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, wow, this is like a weird little epilogue to the entirety of the last year and a half. But we're here to talk to you today about Transformers. So we're going to start off with a hat trick of interviews that showed up over this last week. A whole lot of interviews. The one unifying thing about them is there's actually not a whole lot to talk about in them. But that's why I thought since there's three of them, they kind of add up to a topic. The first interview is with composer James Hannigan, who did the music for the MOBA, Transformers Universe game. That's a multiplayer online battle arena. He's talking about how he's a gentleman who's beneath his 50s, I'm assuming, so he knows what Transformers are. Apparently he's watched the animated movie Robots in Disguise and Prime, which is actually kind of a cool... Like, if he's talking about the Neil Kaplan Robots in Disguise, that's a neat little... palette of Transformers to reference. And he talks about what he thinks the sound of Transformers is. They had a 72-piece orchestra for the early music. And he really likes the Autobot Hero track. He's also worked on game music for Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Command and Conquer, and Red Alert. So I thought it was kind of cool that there was a bit of a reach out to talk to this dude. Apparently it was Forbes that did it. I keep thinking Forbes is a football thing when I see that word. I don't know why. It looks like a sports word.
No, that's like a financial magazine and empire thing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it is. But for some reason, like, my brain sees the shape of the word Forbes and processes it like it's a sports thing. I don't know why.
I think Forbes magazine has a really good arena football team. I could be wrong, though.
I have no idea. Mm. But yeah, I keep forgetting that Transformers Universe is still happening. It's in beta right now, right?
I think it's like an early beta.
Yeah, they're trucking along in a quiet way.
Well, the playtesters are not allowed to divulge any information.
But you are still playtesting. Like there's still.
You're not divulge any information.
All right, I get it.
Is the NDA so harsh that you have to pretend that you're not even part of it? Because
there's a laser pointer on my head right now.
Say something. Do it.
I do appreciate that they are kind of, as far as I can tell, really focusing on beta and development and not trying to put out press release after press release, because when they were in pre-beta, it felt like they were kind of just putting out press release after press release and drumming up lots of attention with not much to show. And so it sounds like they're getting in there and getting focused. So Magus, I guess I can't really ask you anything because you may get shot in the head. Can you go or about whether you're enjoying music that may be in a game? All right. Aaron, how about you?
It seems as if he's unsure what music is.
I think that under the terms of the NDA, he's not allowed to specify whether or not he's actually heard music before. Because music is involved in the game in question.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I
technically
would say
I'm breaking it by being on a Transformer podcast, so...
Well, no. This is a Ron Ben Israel podcast that just happens to be talking about Transformers right now.
Oh, sweet! How do you get that big ballerina out of that little tiny hole in the front of his booth?
I don't know, but Aaron, carefully. How do you feel about James Hannigan?
He appears to have quite a lineage. I mean, I've played a lot of Command and Conquer and Red Alert through the years. I don't think I've played any Harry Potter or Lord of the Ring games. Maybe a little bit of the Lego version thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the playable thing. Not because it's a Lego game, but they're little easy playable games.
Those were before the era of Axsmith and Lego.
Yeah, which that's what we got thing too. But no, I think it's pretty cool if they're talking about having a 72-piece orchestra and also talking about... having audio that has a grinding, almost mechanistic, robotic feel to them.
Yeah, I really want to hear
some. It's like a 72-piece orchestra with some grindcore going on in the background.
Like, that gets me... My optimistic side is that they're working a little bit of mechanical, industrial, electric into the orchestra, and that would be beautiful if they do it the way that I hope they do. Because I've always said, with the Transformers movies, I felt that industrial and electronic music really has a place in... story that is ostensibly about giant transforming anime robots.
Right, and so, that's I just had the fun brain picture of you see the 72-piece orchestra like a orchestra opera type setting with, suits, ties, very formal dress, and then these dudes walking in with various pieces of machinery to make all the, like, mechanical noises as well, and just being, like, oily, greasy guys, just the whole clash of culture thing was the brain image I had with, within two sentences you're talking about, like, a metal and orchestra. It's like, what?
Okay. I would dig that. I mean, like, I've always wanted to listen to more music that literally uses, like, an anvil as a percussive instrument or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just give me some of that noise. But it's always nice to see a little update from Universe now that they're in beta and getting their stuff done. And I always like hearing from people who do music for a living and actually have stuff to say that is a little bit beyond, it was a fun project for a great game. Yeah. And I worked with great people. Like, there was some actual, it's a short interview, but there was actually a few lines of opinion and a bit of passion in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, check it out if you haven't already.
Yeah, what I was going to say on the betas is I have played in betas before where there was little to no sound as well.
Mm.
If you get early enough. So who may or may not even be in beta access may or may not have had the chance to hear music that may or may not be in there.
Yeah. I mean, this might not even be a podcast. I heard there's some dudes running around trying to claim a patent on podcasts. And
oh, God.
You saw that? Yeah. Or were you the one who tweeted that?
I tweeted that out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that came from Nerdist or something.
That was so stupid. how can they let someone get a patent for something that's that blanket?
Because you can write patents for about anything as long as there isn't an existing patent for it.
Yeah,
because
that definition
challenges it.
Like the episodic distribution of media. I was like, you could throw that at anything.
Yeah. Like, well, the issue comes about is if there's not a patent about it beforehand, then it can be patented. And then it comes down to somebody has to fight the patent to say, no, you can't. You know, people have been doing this before you did the patent. So it's not up to the patent office to verify the veracity of it, just that there's not an existing patent for it.
Man.
And then it comes to the other side of the judiciary side to see if or if not that patent is valid. But that's completely a different topic.
And on the little branch from patent talk, apparently Games Workshop is trying to claim they own the phrase Space Marine. So
doing that for quite a while too. So
apparently they're pushing it hard again. No one else can have Space Marines but Games Workshop. Moving on to the next interview, we got to our first interview with Takara Tomy Asia Marketing Director David Schwa. And this is a fellow who works with the Asian region exclusives, i.e. the GDO. So this is our first glimpse into the GDO. And I was kind of excited because, like, wow, an interview outside of Takara Tomy Direct. An interview with the guys who do the GDO stuff. This could be really interesting. One of the most boring interviews I've ever read. three questions highlighted. I went to check the full interview. There's maybe like six questions. And literally, it is a nothing interview, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
It's hosted on TransformersAsia.com. Really got my hopes up. And I read through the interview a couple times just searching for something. But it was so generically answered that I was really disappointed with it.
Yeah. It almost reads like a generic press interview. Like, here are the questions that we have for you to ask us.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of what I'm reading on this, at least the three highlighted ones, it sounds like the same ones we got when they were taking Q&A from websites.
Yeah, very much so.
That very much. Well, this is an answer, but it's not really an answer, but just wait. We got something.
Yeah,
or maybe not.
Well,
who knows?
Well, especially that, you know, one of the questions is one that they couldn't answer, and another question is one that they kind of sidestepped. It's like, okay, this is a dated, and that's actually an old dated interview. That's from July 20th of 2012.
Who
really? I missed that.
Yeah. How is this just getting?
Oh.
Maybe that's when they did the interview and it just, that's when they did the interview and it just recently got actually posted. So,
you know how I missed that? I kept scrolling down to read the actual interview.
Yeah. Well, because the header of it reads like a press release. It's like date, time, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I was just, I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting too much, but, and I admit I'm coming off of all those fantastic Takara Tomy designer interviews, but this just felt like, this felt almost like a weird parody of the worst of the Hasbro Q&A. And the worst, and then it's implied that this site came up with the questions. I'm like, aren't you the site that, never mind.
Yeah.
Hands up in the air. I'm going to walk away. I don't know. Aaron, did you find anything in here that kind of raised an eyebrow at all or gave you an idea?
Not really.
It's
just like, yeah, we do it. We're going to be doing things. It'll be neat.
What about you, Omega? Did anything? Did you find any nuggets in there of gold?
He is definitely employed by Takara Tomy Asia.
Yep.
That's what I took away from this.
I like the photos. Photos were neat.
Well,
it's a whole lot of him, you know, touching Matrix stuff and sitting in an office. He's got cool hair.
I like the plant.
Yeah.
Brings the room together.
Also, just a blank picture spot on here. Looks like it actually kind of broke the site a little bit. So yeah, that happened. That was a real disappointment because I only saw the headline and I was like, I'll wait on reading the interview until we're closer to recording. So about an hour ago, I read the interview and I was like, wow, okay. well, that takes us to our third interview, and this is dipping into volatile territory, because this is our good old buddy Lorenzo de Bonaventura. And this is an actual somewhat of an interview, that's why I'm actually highlighting this one, but this is also just to touch on the fact that it has been confirmed that Transformers 4 is not a reboot, but in fact a reboot that will revitalize things and change things, but it's completely different but kind of the same, but it's not a reboot, it is a reboot. And Mark Wahlberg is in it. So this is the current spiel runaround of the live-action movie press. We've been on this train many times before. This is the new Megatron is dead. This is the new Who's Shockwave. This is the new waste of everyone's time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just the whole, like, if you jump forward 20 years in a story, you're not rebooting it. You're not saying what happened before is anything. But it's not like it takes place immediately following. You've got time that things have changed enough that you have to start the story over.
Yeah, the thing I wanted to say about this is that I think that what you need to do when you see them using words like reboot or press outlets using a word like reboot, you have to bear in mind perspective. Because for us, a reboot means new continuity, because we all look at Transformers with both eyes, you know, squinting, fixated. Mm-hmm. To a lot of other people, saying that the live-action franchise is rebooting means it is a new trilogy, or it is a new marketing scheme, or there are new visuals, or even just it's rebooting because there's another one. Like, the trilogy train is starting up again. To a lot of outside viewers, reboot doesn't mean new continuity, it just means new movies, with perhaps mm-hmm. new branding on them or something like that. So, I just can't believe this conversation has been so, like, back and forth and violent for this long. And Omegas, as a vaunted fan of the live action movies, how do you feel about giving number 4 a go if it is really kind of kickstarting stuff over again?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the movie aesthetics, more so than not being a fan of the movies, because I can still watch the first and third ones if I'm bored. But beyond that, I'm always willing to give a new Transformers media a try. No, so if they're gonna try something new with the fourth movie, if they're gonna kick off a new trilogy, yeah, let's try it. Let's see if this fixes the problems I had with the previous ones, and you know, who knows? It might hit the right formula.
And I'd love to see another very esoteric take on the designs. I mean, like it sucks that it ends up being 3 movies worth of design work, but I actually really like just seeing that weird, demented, way more alien take on Transformers back in 07. And I am a little bit excited to see, like, another very wildly esoteric, probably very off-putting for a lot of longtime fans kind of take on the visuals, just to see what another fresh set of eyes would do, which I hope is the case of what's going on the visual end. And of course, there's the same excuse me, run around of, we don't know if Michael's going to direct 5 and 6. We sure would like him to. And if he says no, we'll bludgeon him with a big stick made out of money.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the same thing that happened for 3, because wasn't he not going to do it for 3? And then they went bag of money and he went, well, okay.
Yeah. I like to imagine that it's like he woke up with a horse head in his bed, but it was like just a bunch of money.
The bag with the dollar sign on it.
Literally, yep. Full of bright green bills with nothing on them. Like, we just keep giving him these, and he keeps thinking that it's money.
Better get him all out soon. The Monopoly set's empty.
I'm also looking forward to seeing Mark Wahlberg in my favorite franchise. So I kind of get some hands-on time with Marky. Maybe he'll show up at a BotCon like Tyrese did. That'd be funny. I still remember when Tyrese showed up. He was talking about his new comic book.
Yeah.
That was a
time. What happened to that? Oh.
Huh? What? What? New? What's Mayhem?
Yeah.
Hashtag by Mayhem. So yeah, we had 3 interviews there, all in the space of like a day or two, and very, very little was really said through all of them. I wish that the interview with the dudes doing the music for Universe had been, I don't know, had gone a bit deeper, but I'm sure that there's only so much that he can even say as a dude working on the game. Moving on from there, let's pick it up. Let's talk about some new picture picks. Aaron, tell me about something new that you've seen.
Actually, it's a new old thing.
Ooh.
The Milton Bradley European comic. Actually, somebody found it and translated it.
So I heard a little bit about this, but I didn't sit down and actually like read up on what the whole deal was.
So the original deal was this was like a store promo thing that had an early toy catalog for like the first, like the 84 toys. And in it, like before all that people had really ever seen was like the cover and like the first page of the comic or something, which is basically the cover kind of chopped up.
Yeah.
And all that they could really tell was that it was Jetfire as the leader of the Autobots with no sign of an Optimus.
Oh, wow.
And somebody found it and translated it, and it reads like a weird crossover mishmash of like More Than Meets the Eye and the Dinobots and everything, because it has Jetfire as the leader of the Autobots fighting Megatron. Ark crashes into the Earth. Soundwave survives and revives some Decepticons, and then the Ark kicks up, revives the Dinobots, and then the Dinobots defend the Ark, and in the process cause a cave-in or something. I'm panning through it real quick. And then they'll be paralyzed for a long time, and then 4 million years later, the Ark reawakens and rebuilds all the Transformers, and then boom, it's 84.
Yeah, I just had to flip through that while you were explaining the situation, and it's real interesting because the whole bit with Soundwave and the Dinobots reads a lot like Spotlight Shockwave from a couple years ago. And I think it's really interesting that the Autobots that are highlighted are Jetfire, Roadbuster, and Whirl, three of the non-Takara designed toys.
Yeah.
With Megatron, Thrust, and Blitzwing being highlighted on the bottom. Roadbuster, Whirl, and Jetfire, and Jetfire, you know, being presented as the Macross toy, it makes you wonder if maybe before the whole rights issue became a thing, perhaps that was a prototype idea of having these larger, more intricate toys being the leader characters.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
That those were the fill-in ones. But it's odd, though, because Thrust and Blitzwing were, like, 85?
I want to see even... Weren't Jetfire, Roadbuster, and Whirl?
It's a Conehead. Jetfire, Roadbuster, and Whirl, I want to say, were... Jetfire's 84.
Okay. I'm trying to recall the...
I think Roadbuster and Whirl were as well. I'd have to...
I want to say that some of those non-Transformer or non-Takara molds showed up in, like, to fill it out in 85, but this is all me trying to just remember, like, a booklet I had when I was, like, 4.
Yeah.
It's a real interesting little comic, though. That's kind of cool. Like, this isn't the first time in the last couple of weeks that we've had someone like kind of solve one of the
Roadbusters 86.
Aha! I knew it.
Oh, jeez.
Because I remember I have the post movie catalog, and Roadbuster and Whirl are featured in it, as is Jetfire.
So yeah, it seems odd that either Prime wasn't going to come out there. So I'm still not sure exactly what all's going down with this book, but it's
kind of weird because you can see. I took a look at that, and then I think I see Prime in the background on the first page getting punched.
Okay, the copyright page has 85.
Oh, he is! Yeah, Prime's right. He's fighting
Hasbro Bradley.
He's fighting like a yellow seeker.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a background guy.
This is how he tricked Megatron when they first met. He had Jetfire come and say, "I, Jetfire, leader of the Autobots."
it's the Spartacus ploy.
But yeah, okay, so the book is from 85, so... Yeah, I don't know. Or if this was like Milton Bradley Hasbro, so they just did whatever.
It might have been a little bit of translation confusion since Jetfire was sold as a command figure and a 10 rank toy.
Yeah. But it's weirdness, and it's kind of one of those, again, like we had before with whatever the heck the name of the kid was.
Tommy Kennedy.
Spacing on Tommy Kennedy. One of those weird things in Transformers that people knew about, but knew that it was a thing, and now it's more of a verified thing.
I always love and feel a bit sad about this stuff, because the upside is it's so cool to have like something from so long ago still be so new. But yeah. It also means that's one less of the very dwindling number of mysteries being closed up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Omegas, that was a good catch. I didn't even notice the smokestacks back there.
I was trying to pan around. I was like, oh, we got Sunstorm in the back. Oh, he's punching Prime out. What the?
Kind of grisly shot of all the dismembered Transformers in the... page of Soundwave jumping off the ship.
It's like, I'm out!
For Megatron and all the Decepticons! It's a weird thing to say. Like, a really long thing to say when the ship's about to hit a mountain. It's it's a cool book. I'm glad that we've got it out there.
I love this shot of Soundwave just shooting a T-Rex in the face.
I like seeing Soundwave actually, like, I don't know. I like Soundwave as a feature. Ah, that's cool. I got to stop reading the comic and continue podcasting. That's really interesting to see come up. I'm digging it. There'll be a link in the thread for those of you who don't want to go digging for it in the front page. So check that out. Omegas, what about you? What's your new picture pick?
I guess it falls on me to bring up our brand new combiner that just got revealed.
Yeah, I saw this image at first on 4chan, and I was like, that's a cool Photoshop. And I kind of stared at it for a while. I was like, wait, what? And I was like, why has no one reported this? And I went and checked the site, and it was on the front page. And I was like, oh, all right, I just haven't checked the front page yet today.
When we saw Twin Striker, Sinner Twin, I kind of figured that, you know, we just found out Hunger was going to come out too. But I kind of figured, well, if any time was right for the Terracons to come back, it's probably Beast Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea they'd go for all of them. Even less did they go for a combiner, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out, do they all look like they're Cyberverse like legends, or do you think there are any commander figures in there?
I think they're all legends.
Yeah,
because that's what Twins... It's like half hidden that says existing tooling with new character design.
Hmm. Yeah, with new character Deco.
Deco, maybe?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, it says Deco, yeah. Which makes me wonder if the combiner set's going to be repainted.
Why would you put your watermark over the part that doesn't just say Transformers?
No, because we may not be sure.
It's just a really cool thing to see. I mean, aside from the fact we're going to have a tiny little combiner on our hands, a tiny little Abominus.
Yeah. It looks like for the arms, the feet just clip around the other one's arms held upright.
Yeah, that's got to be hefty ball joints.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it has like an upper clip, maybe it'll hold it in place.
Oh, there's pegs in the legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah, Twin Strike holds his arms up and then the other guys just clip their legs around. I think it's going to be almost like a fan mode style of combiner.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like there at least is like a little bit of engineering in there, like at least some ports or like fit together bits. I mean, mm-hmm. They're also, if they're legends, there's no room to put like big ass clips on. But what got me about this, I thought this was super cool, and like this is just, remember Revenge of the Fallen Legends Devastator. It's just that. It's an affordable little combining thing. Everyone's got two modes. There's nothing that's going to blow your mind about it. I'm actually quite impressed by the robot mode silhouettes of these five. Like, especially Blight. That he's, you know, he's got his arms turning into his legs and vice versa. Like, there's enough going on in there to be kind of impressive for their size. And mostly it's just people going like, I saw a lot of reactions just like, piece of crap, looks like Power Core. I'm like, dude, it's five legends. It's like five sub $5 toys. Or, no, the legends are more expensive now. They're more like, what, six?
Seven.
All right.
I still find him for six.
Okay. Well, it's five Legends toys combining. It's a pocket-sized little Abominus. He'll probably look really cool next to the Voyager Predaking. I don't know. The amount of snark I saw coming at it, I was like, I felt like people thought this was being presented as, like, the next Bruticus or something.
Five Voyagers all combining together.
Yeah. We've seen Twin Strike. These are Cyberverse toys.
I'm kind of interested in seeing the character Deco mentioned in the part, where I'm starting to wonder, since we've already got Twin Strike and Hunger announced, if the rest are retail exclusives to be released, and this is just a teaser for what the multi-pack will be.
I'm wondering if they're all, like, if the colors we're being shown are the new character Deco, because if I recall, I haven't seen a lot of coverage of Twin Strike. I haven't gone looking for it yet, but isn't he a bit more gold in color?
It's basically the same color.
Oh, okay.
Because these might actually be renders, not the actual toy photos.
Yeah.
No, jeez. Being that size, something really wants to see a Monstructor out of this.
Could be a redeco.
I want it. Want it bad.
Like, I mean, you know, mainline combiners are often more impressive in concept than they are in execution, but I kind of dig stuff like this. Like, you know, it's a bunch of Legends toys. It's friggin' Abominus. Whoever thought that we would see Abominus show up anywhere except for Creo?
Well, you think about it. It's 2013, and Blot has a new toy coming out.
Yeah. I'm so sad they had to call him Blight.
I don't mind the name change.
I don't know, but he's Blot. He turns into a nothing that looks like the word Blot. And I don't know. but I'm digging how these things look. They look like they're pretty fun Legends toys already. And the combined mode looks like crazy, like, mutant Abominus with, like, dragons for fingers. I'm digging it. I'm just curious now, and I'm sure people have already asked, but, you know, people can get Twin Strike right now. I'm wondering if he has any of the connectable tooling in there, and if anyone can spot it, or if it's just using his existing stuff.
Yeah, it looks like maybe if he's got holes on the side of his alt mode head.
Oh wait, doesn't he turn? He's got the arm.
He's the left arm.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. The central body's Hunger.
Oh, I guess it's Hunger that's the central body then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you've got a Twin Strike, look on the inside of his legs. Try to find pegs or holes.
Well, I mean, I say all that, but there's a good chance that, given the size of these guys, it could just be using existing holes, especially on the limbs. Because Hunger looks like he has a different head that comes out for Abominus. So it could be that, you know, much like actually the fans project Stunticons that are coming out right now, Hunger might be the one with the key to all the combination, and everyone else might just be like, they might be not necessarily designed to combine so much as Hunger is able to plug them onto himself.
I can see some holes in his forearms there, so he can peg into something.
Yeah.
Now that might be just the ball joint socket. I wonder if it's just, like, hand.
No, because you can see his hand.
Or no, that's the hand flips around the backside. Yeah, I don't know.
These pictures are too small!
Yeah.
This is the one problem when you get these leaked. Because this is very obviously leaked from a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, cut out of somebody's PowerPoint for one of the toy fairs.
We're probably actually going to know about this next weekend. But I don't know, the color palette, this, what I always loved about Abominus was his color palette, and it looks like it's all right here.
There's a few that are a little off, but it's basically there, yeah.
Just the cold blues and turquoises with the hints of purple is the stuff I like. But yeah, this came out of nowhere. It was kind of cool. It is news enough. Aaron, do you have any other thoughts on this yourself?
No, I think it looks cool, but really want to see what it looks like with somebody having parts of them looking for it, rather than us sitting here going, is that a hole?
Right now, everyone who finds it,
quite sure, you kind know, of moving the head around, trying to get a different angle on it on the same monitor that you're looking at already.
If I stopped having such terrible luck with my timing of checking the Walmart near here, I would have a Twin Strike right now and would be able to tell you. But Whenever I go there, I only ever find the Bumblebee Legion guy. I'm sure we'll find out.
Better timing.
I'm working on it. I want Predaking, man. My own new picture pick, I'm going to go a little bit third party here. And this is a little bit biased because I'm telling this story to go with this. It's a perfect effect. Have been on Facebook for ages, but it's been a dead page. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, they accepted all of the built-up friend requests that they had. And then all of a sudden posted pictures of this new add-on set for the Revenge of the Fallen bludgeon mold. Or Hunt for the Decepticons bludgeon mold. And they've started replying to comments, often just with stuff like, thanks for your support and stuff like that. But I went on there, no one had commented yet, and there was a picture of GDO Megatron holding this enormous cannon on his shoulder. So I left the comment, that is a magnificent cannon. And then Perfect Effect replied with, thanks, smiley face. And I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen Perfect Effect say anything in English! And I was kind of freaking out for a second.
Thanks is pretty basic English, though.
I know, but I've never seen them.
Thank you very much for your interest in this product. If you would like to place a pre-order, you can send your information. No, it was thanks.
I've never seen them say anything in English, let alone with an emoticon after it. So I was like, well, they get that magnificent cannon is a great compliment. But this add-on set
They thought you were talking about something else.
I was trying to be a double entendre, but I'm not sure if it carried. This thing is also for, like I said, Bludgeon, GDO Megatron, or BotCon Overlord. It's a huge-ass cannon. It's, you know, new swords, new head molds, new guns. And the new heads for Bludgeon and Overlord, there's actually two each. These aren't on the front page item. These are on their Facebook, though. Bludgeon's got this very demonic skull face and then a very IDW face. Then Overlord, in the pictures here, you can see him with a kind of a screaming head on. There's another head, which is him totally in Last Stand of the Wreckers mode, just smiling with really full-on luscious lips. So I went in there and I left a comment saying those lips are perfect, and they said, colon, parentheses. So, yeah, it looks like especially for Overlord, I'm kind of interested because, and, you know, sucks to say, but the worst part of BotCon Overlord was the delivery of the head sculpt, I felt. And it feels like this add-on set really, it delivers on the concept a lot more, and I also kind of am interested in this because I thought that I would repurpose my Overlord into Skeletron, and I found the Skeletron head a tad lacking in execution, so now I can re-Overlord him with a better Overlord head. I don't know, how do you guys feel about this? In particular, the giant cannon. It's big.
Big cannon is big. Yeah.
Hope you've got tight ball joints.
Yep, I do.
Yeah. Does the cannon do anything, or is it just a big cannon?
They haven't specified, so I have no idea.
Because it looks like with some of that equipment in the middle, it may collapse down some.
Yeah, and there's a ratchet connection in the shot of Megatron's tank mode, or Bludgeon's tank mode. You can see like where it connects to the top of the tank, there's like a ratchet joint there.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I would feel better if it actually does something. But who knows?
But it's a cool idea, I think, also because the Head Robots Bludgeon set has become harder to find. I think a lot of folks who wanted it have now bought it, and not many are left for the rest of us. So this is kind of timely. Omegas, what about you? How are you feeling about Perfect Effect's Facebook debut?
Ridiculous canon is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not big on upgrade weapon sets, but good lord, that's a big gun.
Mm-hmm.
I do love this instinct in third parties to just give toys massive armaments.
Yeah, well, that's what caught my eye, because the first pictures of this, the first ones I saw didn't have the big cannon, so I was like, whatever. And I saw that huge cannon on Megatron's shoulder, and I was like, magnificent. Cool new barrel for the tank actual gun as well, like the handle of that sword.
Mm-hmm.
But Perfect Effect's got a bunch of stuff they're working on, and like their Facebook page, they filled it up with all the stuff we already knew as well, like the Arania and stuff like that. And that takes us to our next topic, which is a little bit of discussion on, we talked about this a little bit last week, but now we have an alt mode picture of BotCon 2013's Machine Wars Hoist. So I'll open up by walking past Aaron and asking Omegas, what do you think of Hoist?
Why does he have suspenders on?
That's just, those are his stripes. Those are one of the very few defining things of the Machine Wars toy.
No, those are friggin' suspenders.
So he needs something on him to look like a workman, because he has no crane anymore. He's got nothing to actually hoist stuff with.
He's a tow truck that doesn't have any towing equipment.
Yep.
It's where it almost would have been better had they put the gun facing the other way and flat, so it could look like it was some sort of hoisting device.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than having it tucked underneath it in its normal storage mode as just an exhaust.
Well, it was specified on Twitter that the shots we're seeing right now are the digital mock-ups.
Oh, so these are photo chops then.
Yeah. I forgot. I mentioned this last week. Someone who came across as being involved with it, I can't remember his name still, said that these are digital mock-ups. These are not the in-hand ones. Which made everything make a bit more sense to me, because I was like, that red looks weird. And then, if it's just a Photoshop filter, I'm like, all right, I get it. It'll hopefully look a bit more robust in person.
Yeah.
Aaron, what about you? How are you feeling about Machine Wars Hoist?
I like that they do have the nod with the Tampa on the back of it. Mm-hmm. However, it's Machine Wars Hoist. As they said it on their Twitter, that this isn't their home run. This is their leadoff. This is the way that they get started. Or somebody else said, and then they acknowledged. I think it was Foster Logger.
Maybe it was Defuzz.
Or Defuzz. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Brain melts after a week or so.
This is their first base bunter?
Yeah. If you're doing Machine Wars, it's one of the things that was Machine Wars. However, I think that I guess it's because this is mock-up, and Photoshop mock-up, then all right, I can dig that they didn't do that, but you think it'd be easy enough to do something different with that rifle to make it look like it's hoisting something.
I would have loved to see, because I mean, someone, I think Ian actually, cheers Ian on Twitter, follow him, send him XDs, asked them how he's actually supposed to hoist, and then Bach on Twitter replied, well, this is the truck that belongs to the guy who owns an army of tow trucks.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't know if that was meant to be serious or not, but I was like, well, that's one way of saying it. I preferred my idea, which is that Hoist has had his crane forcibly removed, and he's now just a cold, bitter, angry person.
Yeah. The fun thing will be when a non-official group ends up making a hoist for Hoist.
You know how quickly that showed up on Twitter, right? Like within minutes. Oh,
immediately, yeah. I'm not going to pretend that I am some sort of unique trendsetter idea person, but yeah, that'll be great, and then it'll be the mystical, magical wonderings of the internet.
But here's the question I've got for you. Your whole being Aaron aside, as a representation of Machine Wars Hoist done with modern toys, do you think it works? Like, just in that little narrow scope?
Yeah. I think it does, other than the fact it's not actually a tow truck. But then again, the only tow truck we've really gotten has been movie one.
Yeah, and I believe that truck is licensed enough to not be usable, as far as I've heard.
Which sucks, because it would have been a much better
Not only licensed enough that it's not usable, but just so old. I mean, if it's not in...
Yeah, well, for 407, that was a pretty good toy. Like, I think that's
no. I'm not saying old as in technology. I'm saying old as in those molds are probably in storage or retired someplace, and not something that's currently in service.
I guess, but well, Bakon have stretched that limit ever since
they have. Funpub they took have, over. But that's a long stretch. Whereas we had this mold used in GDO, so it's still in the front part of the warehouse.
Yeah, seeing the alt mode pictures, the Wilkes and whatever thing on the back, that's neat, but the thing that sells me the most on the way that they did that toy is the trick with the chest. So you guys haven't heard last podcast, but do you see the trick they did with the chest?
No.
So you know how Machine Wars Hoist had the... Yeah, you see it, right? You see it.
Okay, I get it.
That's actually pretty clever. I had to give that to them last week. They you see, you know how Machine Wars Hoist had the front of the truck and the grill as his chest?
Uh-huh.
So you know how that cup toy doesn't have that? What they did is they painted the chest to look kind of like the windows of the front of the truck, and it actually has a grill molded on the stomach.
Okay.
So it's kind of a neat little trick.
So is that not... Does that cup mold not have, like, abs? So you think that'll be maybe a new piece?
I thought that was the piece that's on there. Now, of course, all my cup molds are not here.
My cup is in front of me. That is an existing piece.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Cup was.
I was going to say, because if they could make a new, if they're talking about making a new ab piece, but totally passing on a.
There's no way that's some
misplaced priorities.
There's no way that would happen. That's like no. They did a new light bar for that silly Ratchet toy that only I liked back in 05. So they, I'm sure that they. I'm sure that the idea of retooling the gun or that redoing that piece of tooling as a crane probably was part of the discussion. Probably was shot down very quickly.
You know, the last time they tried to make a custom part, it's a headband.
So yeah, this is all rehashing. But
here we go.
No, I'm good. It was a mean comment. I apologize.
Last week I actually held back. I mean, I said what I held back on saying, but I was going to make a quip about whether they just offer a hook made of dental mold material at. This block on, but and now this is, I now have twice
it's
said
silly,
it.
It's a silly putty egg. You have to kind of build it yourself. Sorry,
that's the customizing class this year.
So if I were in their position, I literally would just make silly putty hoist cranes and give them away for free, just as a show of like, all right, we get it, and we're gonna own the situation. Like that's how I would react. You gotta own those headbands. You gotta own that situation. You just got this year. Yeah. They got to do something really stupid with something that's just as rubbery.
Papercraft.
Oh man, papercraft! Why aren't... We have all these really good ideas. Why aren't we in a position to implement them? Like a papercraft hoist hook with like papercraft cut 3mm clips that totally won't work because they're made of paper. But you just hand it out. That would be so good. Yeah, no, any other thoughts on hoist, or are you guys just waiting to see what is revealed next?
I think it's up to the next reveals.
Yeah. Someone mentioned that the head looked like it was going to double as Electro, which would actually fit it a lot better.
If they do Electro, I will. If I don't make it to BotCon, Electro would be a toy I would be trying to get ASAP. I love me some of those crazy laser... I almost said laser vaults, but vault was one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, laser rods. Yeah.
Laser rods. Because it's Electro, vault, sizzle, jolt, rappin'. Da 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 laser rods. That's what I remember. I don't know. Give me more modern laser rods. You'll have me. You'll have me set in right there. Right where you need me. I guess that can take us into our listener question this week, which comes from Skate Shark, who says, dear Chuckles and his deceptive bunch of cohorts. It's a nasty thing to say about Aaron. I have an inquiry that I wish to be satiated. With the appearance of the many, many MacGuffins in Transformers Prime as of late, I was curious as to which of them ranks highest in their levels of sheer badass and cool factor, or just downright silliness, in your opinions. Unless I am as bad at math as my teacher said I was, it should in most cases coincide with your favorite, which is what this question is all about. Commas! Why do you like it, and if you had the chance, would you use it? I personally like the Dingus because it has an utterly ridiculous name. That is a very good answer to your own question, because that is the first one I would think of.
Is the Dingus just about the only real MacGuffin?
I guess if we're going to use MacGuffin in terms of just empty plot devices. Because, yeah, I mean, like, some of them are a little bit outside the definition, but it's a common catch-all. I think that, you know it's kind of like... those terms where people all use them and they're kind of right, but the deeper aspects of them are being forgotten.
That's a genericized term then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted your...
How dare you.
Question reading.
He goes on to say, thanks for taking the time to answer my question, and I look forward to hearing your answer soon. Now, if you'll excuse me, there's a bowl of Energon O's just over there with my name on it. Skate Shark. That's not a real cereal, so whoever's feeding you that, they probably don't have good intentions. I'm just going to say right now. So, Aaron, what is your favorite Prime plot device?
The one that I like and would kind of like to see more of would be the Forge from Solus Prime, but I don't know post-finale episode. season finale episode how much that's going to be doing. But just the concept of this hammer that you can make anything with by just hitting it enough. It's one of those things that it's like the MacGuffin. It's the one that all of the others can be born from.
Would you say it's the Alpha MacGuffin?
Maybe.
So then who made the Forge of Solus Prime?
Solus Prime?
But then who made Solus Prime? Like, this is becoming chicken and the egg to me.
Yeah. Well, the precursor of the chicken of the and the egg is the pre-chicken laid the, or the not quite genetic chicken laid the genetic chicken egg. But really, it would have been Primus made Solus Prime.
Who laid Primus?
The universe.
Who did the dirty with the universe to make Primus?
The Big Bang.
Whoa. That's a classless double entendre, sir.
Yes.
All right. What about you, Omegas? What's your favorite plot device from Prime?
From Prime? Kind of been all over the place with the plot devices now.
What's the first one that pops into your head just when you think season 2 Prime plot devices? Doesn't have to be season 2, but that's just where the root of
most of
them
happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm trying to remember what it was called. Just the one that stands out the most in my head. Was it the... Oh, God.
Well, start giving us hints.
What did it look like?
Probably work it in. It Red Energon?
It was the big metal ball.
Oh!
The Energon extractor? Or the...
I thought it was the spark extractor.
Or the spark extractor.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, it was the thing that Starscream used on that one Viacon, right? Like, where he's like, I wonder how this works. Oh, I killed you. Ha ha.
I'm trying to remember if that was the spark extractor or not, because I don't remember being that big.
It was the something extractor.
It's the Energon extractor. Where he used it on Bulkhead? And Bulkhead did the whole heroic fight into the fire.
I thought they were going to kill off Bulkhead in that episode. Like, I was actually... I remember at that point, I was like, well, I don't even know what... All right, well, I guess Bulkhead's dead. Like, when he's walking forward through the fire and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good time.
But for me, it's just... It's that one plot device where it's almost that... The whole thing of no one found this ship in the canyon for centuries. Where they have it for this long, they stick it in a museum, and no one has scanned this thing one time.
Oh, the one in the museum.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, okay, I forgot what that was. I just remember that's in the museum. I like that episode because Knockout was in it.
Of course.
That's when my Knockout fixation was starting to really rev up. But that's an amusing reason.
Because it's just one of those things that's there just for the story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give it even the second of thought, you're like, there's no way. It's just been sitting around this long and no one has so much as knocked on the thing.
Prime was good at like, they had the entire spaceships in canyons. Yeah. Like, hey, we found a spaceship. No one else did, but we found it. And there's stuff inside. Cloning, what? My personal favorite is the color red, because of all the joy and laughter it brought me in prime time, and prime discussion. And I'm gonna be retiring it pretty soon because the show's starting up again, and I don't want to give it any ideas. But for me, it's the color red. That's my favorite prime.
And it just works over to the color purple the next.
Yeah, well, it's going by the toys, we got the color green coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
Green Energon. And just take away the synth end name right away. Just call it Green Energon. But yeah, that's my personal favorite.
Okay, just so we don't get corrected in the comments. Okay, it was the Energon Harvester. That was the big
Harvester.
And it actually was in the episode entitled Deus Ex Machina.
I forgot there was an episode called Deus Ex Machina. That's the one that was packed in with a bunch of toys, and I forgot that that was an episode. That's bad. I'm getting real goldfish over here. Oh, well. Well, I hope that that answered your question, Skate Shark. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some What We Got This Week to close out the second half of 238 of WTF at TFW, and I'm going to have me a potato chip. There's your TMI for this week. Final boarding call for
Edmonton. Where's Messier?
Mr. Messier, please report to Gate B.
Mr. Messier! Mr. Messier! How about an autograph?
Sorry, I got a plane to catch. Hey, kid. How about one of those chips?
Just one.
Lay's Classic. Always fresh. Bet you can't eat just one.
And my other pen pal, Danny and Flint one. My third cousin, twice removed.
All right, guys, we're back, and I got some big news. Aside from Aaron's big news, slight off topic here. Aaron just found a Craigslist listing for the stupidest thing I've ever seen this entire year.
Yeah.
What was the gentleman selling?
50 plus of the Star Wars Death Star playset thing, like a $350, $400 Lego set that generally the turnaround with the Star Wars Lego sets is it's on sale for a year and a half or 2 years. That one has managed four. This guy bought a whack load of them in order to resell them. To potentially make money.
You're not speculating. That's what he said in the listing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's saying that it was bought for... Now I got to go open it. I bought these in anticipation of the set's retirement, at which time the set should increase by value by at least 50%. However, I now find myself having to move, and I'd prefer not moving all these sets with me. So I'm offering them up as a lot for a fellow investor or possibly a dealer.
A fellow Lego investor!
Yeah, I'm not looking to take much of a loss on these, as I see their eventual appreciation as a certainty in the near future.
If you are gonna title yourself as a Lego investor, there is something very specifically wrong with you.
Yes, so, I've thought about buying an extra set of like the modulars when they go out, but nowhere in my mind would I think I'm going to spend $20,000-ish, maybe he got a deal and got it for $17,000.
Even if you bought another one to stick in your closet for a year, you wouldn't call yourself a Lego investor.
Yeah, it's not like
who would ever with a straight 401k,
face.
Who would?
Or I could do a Roth IRA, or I can go buy a bunch of Lego.
Who has enough of a lack of shame to diminish their very being and call themselves a quote Lego investor, seeking to sell to another Lego investor?
Yeah, especially the like it's a ring of people doing this, but the way that you're going to advertise it's Craigslist.
This is the kind of bullcrap that I was afraid would kick up when that stupid show with what's his name, Toy Hunter, that idiotic show. Yeah. That show was fostering this very idea, and this is everything that should not be toy collecting. It's disgusting. It's also hilarious because this dude's never going to sell all those.
Yeah, not at Craigslist Indianapolis.
Nope.
He might sell some of them if he opened up like an Amazon store or like a eBay store or something.
He might get his money back, maybe, if he sells them at cost.
Yeah.
My own little bit of news I found here, completely off topic, is a thing called Phoenix Rising, which is a full reboot of Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future, with original series creator Gary Goddard being fully involved. Pictures of the place where they're working on the show have Captain Power 80s toys hanging all over a bulletin board with design pictures for this new show, and they've tweeted, "Get ready to collect a lot of figures." I love Captain Power!
Nice.
So, anyway, that caught me while you were looking at the Craigslist thing, and I was like, I have to bring this up.
Lego.com retails $400, so yeah, $20,000-ish. And Amazon is from 330 to 400 or so.
Well.
Wow. Sorry. I said I was going to close it and put away.
Yeah,
but
close
wow.
it. Close it. Close it. We're talking about on topic close, what close. We got this week. Okay. We're going to open up. I'm going to give you a breather. Omegas, what did you get that was Transformers this week?
God,
did you invest in anything?
No, I just quickly looked up Captain Power, and I've got that like black jet with a laser on top.
Captain Power was my first tokusatsu, is the way I'm going to explain it. If anyone out there has not seen Captain Power, it's only one season. For its time and for what it was, it's really cool. Okay, I'm going to get off on a rant if I keep talking about it. So you've got to cut in here with some Transformers. Or I'm...
Toys, right. Yeah, I had a pretty hefty 2 weeks here. So I'm going to kick it off with the first wave of Beast Hunters Deluxes.
Did you grab all four?
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess I'll get the remolds out of the way first. Bumblebee is a freaking psychopath.
Love those eyes.
I love the fact that they beaded the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it so much worse. And I'll go back to what I said about the toy when I got the first version. And if the Automorph actually worked, it'd be one of the best looking and most dynamic ones I've seen. It works now.
I heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the shoulders still don't go all the way back like I would prefer, but the head works. So, yeah, I'm going to count it. It's one of the most dynamic Automorphs I've ever seen.
Yeah, I like the look of that Bumblebee. I just hardcore don't want to pay retail for it.
Yeah, it's the same toy. It just has a ludicrous amount of missiles, weapons, and spikes on it now.
Mm-hmm.
But between all the different weapons and spikes, he's kind of giving Cyberfire a run for his money in the psychotic B department.
That's why I'm kind of attracted to that toy. The one time I saw it, I was really taken by the eyes.
The one time I saw it in the store, one of the eyes was mispainted, so it just kind of looked derpy.
Aw.
Kind of spoiled it. This one's good, though. Soundwave's just kind of Soundwave.
I have a lot of questions about it because no one is talking about... The only time I've seen someone talk about that Soundwave, they trashed it. Like, they just trashed that Soundwave.
I've got one in hand, too, so ask away.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what I caught is that apparently the remolds actually prevent his arms from straightening.
Yep.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's awful.
Because the official transformation of the original toy has for his... alt mode, his arms are supposed to be folded in, not all the way out, to give the crazy wingspan.
Yeah.
So they remolded the outer arm to give it a big, hooked, spiky look. And then, yeah, it keeps him from that outer part of the hand from going all the way out.
So that's kind of a bummer. How's Ravage?
Very simple.
Yeah. Super simple.
Yeah, like, literally, he really doesn't even transform in any way. He just kind of fits into that slot for laser beak with his legs splayed out.
That's a bummer.
If he wasn't upside down on the chest, it'd look like one of those cute cat pictures where just latching on, Daddy! That type of thing.
Do either of you have anything nice to say about Beast Hunter Soundwave that... Like, I wanted to like it, but everything I've heard sounds like it's like the epitome of something that I'm not interested in.
It's probably the epitome of something you're not interested in.
Yeah. He did make me realize one thing that all the remolds seem to have to one degree or another so far.
Super loose joints?
The joints are okay on mine.
My arms are super wobbly.
No, mine are staying put.
Aren't you lucky?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just jealous. No, something I noticed about these it seems like in all the parts that have the same plastic color as the previous toys, they tried to add in a swirl effect in the plastic.
Oh yeah, I noticed that on the Bumblebee. It looked like it could be really cool if you're able to peruse the toys in person.
Get lucky with your swirl pattern.
Yeah, because I heard some of the swirls are terrible, and some of them are really cool, and it's, like, very random.
Yeah, well, my Soundwave managed to come off with some fairly cool swirling effects. So he at least has an interesting aesthetic to him, if nothing else.
My cool swirls come in on one wing and on, like, the side stuff where his leg got remolded to be more spiky. I've got some of the dark blue in there, but beyond that, it's just looks like it's dirty plastic, not... Or almost like maybe it's like the color change plastic that's kind of broken because it's color changed too much.
Ah. That stuff.
This is all making Soundwave sound like a colossal bummer to me.
Yeah. Totally a pass.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, I'm the only one who was holding out for that toy, I think. A lot of people had already made the decision, but... I wanted a Soundwave with a new chest minion to turn out like a surprise, like kind of sleeper toy, where at least the chest minion was cool. And it sounds like
yeah, that's the reason why I got Soundwave was because Toys R Us was doing a buy one get one half off, and because I wanted to try out the chest minion, and sure, I'm glad I got it for half off.
Bomber.
Because, I mean, I also have problems with I can't get the front part of the vehicle to stay together.
Yeah, mine has some trouble with that, too.
If you try and line, you know, it's like there are three different things that you have to line up and push together. You know, same as the original Soundwave. But in the original Soundwave, I'm sitting here messing with them right now. Yeah, it works just fine. You got to just do it, and then it's good. The other one, you get the first, you get the, like, the back of his thighs plugged together, and then you get the point on the drone part together, and then the ends of his feet are splayed out, and then you push those together, and then it pops the thighs out, and it's like you keep working the thing down the line, and it just doesn't want to go. And I don't know if that's because they changed the tolerance a little bit or what the deal is, but it's kind of a bummer.
All right. We should drop this Soundwave talk. This is demolishing all the enthusiasm I had going on for finding some of that stuff. all right, so Soundwave, skip. There you go. all right, what about Wheeljack then? How are you feeling about him?
Wheeljack's probably gonna, I was gonna say he's my favorite remold, but I'm still kind of eyeballing Bumblebee here a little bit.
So I know that I'm after Wheeljack. That Angel of Death look is
oh yeah,
too cool.
Yeah, he is a fierce looking toy. And I'm happy to say the disc launcher works a little bit better than my kickback.
Oh, cool. And cool. Do you feel that there's any mold degradation, or does it still feel like a tight Wheeljack toy?
I don't know. I think the leg panels are a little bit wobbly compared to my old one. I'd have to break the old Wheeljack out to be sure.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just going to end up going mold completionist on Wheeljack, because I've got every version of him at least on the way, except for like Dark Energon and Arms Micron.
Right.
So then not every version?
Exactly. Every version but two, okay. Like any good collector.
You know, but basically it's the same Wheeljack toy, sans swords, but plus an enormous amount of blades on him. And he does look really cool that way. I do take a couple issues with him. Like his back kibble pieces, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do with them. Because it seems like no matter what I try to do, because you're supposed to splay them out like they're supposed to be like big wing appendages of some type.
Yeah.
But no matter what I do with them, they seriously clash with his arms. Especially if you have it with the shoulders the way they're supposed to be transformed.
Hmm.
So that's a little bit of a bummer. I mean, I just leave them folded up and they stay all the way then. He kind of scares me because he has gold plastic.
Oh, like swirly gold plastic?
There's a glitter to it, and there's a bit of a swirl to it, because it's kind of got the same marbleizing effect.
I think that's somewhere you're not going to have to worry until the movie one preview Starscreams start falling apart, if they do. Because I remember they said they changed the formula years ago, and the first Transformer I can think of that would have the changed formula is preview Starscream.
Yeah, it should be if it's the metallic, like, swirl lines, not necessarily two colors.
Right. Yeah, it was those really heavy swirls in it that caused the GPS.
Yeah.
There's a few lines in him. It's nothing too bad. But I can imagine a few get by that might have that a little bit worse.
Keep an eye out. I mostly just want a Wheeljack whose swirl patterns look cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say this about Beast Hunters. Don't buy them online. Make sure you have control of that swirl pattern.
Yeah, I'm thinking that from just what little I've seen.
Yeah, my Wheeljack currently on the right side of his hood just kind of looks dirty. Kind of looks like he needs to go through the wash. On the left side, it looks like there's a fire under the engine.
Excellent.
So I don't know how. It's just an enormous blob of black got in there.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
I'll say this about the remolds. I mean, they all feel a hell of a lot more substantial than they used to.
That's what I was hoping for, was some kind of, especially on Wheeljack, was some kind of beefing out effect.
Yeah, that's definitely there.
Excellent. What about Laserback?
I'm really digging Laserback. I'm seriously liking the design. I like the heft and feel of him. And it's a dragon transformer, and I seem to be a sucker for them.
Excellent. I mean, just in this podcast, I heard a bit of back and forth on Laserback between, I want to say, Aaron and Gog. And, I'm really interested to try that toy out.
Just this wide, beefy guy. I mean, he looks like a brute in both modes, and it really kind of works for him. You know, and it's the typical, me stand and am robot style transformation, but it kind of works for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it keeps him articulated in both modes. I'm really liking that. Just looks cool. Like, it's just one of those things that just kind of hits me just right.
Oh, no, that's cool. Every positive reaction sounds like points I can definitely see. The negatives also. So that's what interests me about him, is it seems like he's caused discussion.
Yeah.
He's not easy to just define as you know, some other Transformers can be. Like, that Soundwave is really easy to define as garbage, apparently. I'm not usually one quick to say that, but I mean, just everything I've seen of it has been like, it looks like that's a colossal misstep of a redo.
Yeah, it's a great way of ruining a really good toy.
But no, it's good to hear about Laserback, because I'm all in on those Predacons. I like dragons. They all look interesting so far.
So I guess moving on from there, moving back to the normal Prime series and the Voyagers, I picked up both Magnus and Thundertron.
Oh, cool. How you liking Thundertron? He's kind of our little, sort of turning into a podcast mascot of late.
Hmm. I'm a little conflicted on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like the look and the design of the toy. You know, the robot mode looks spectacular. Love how he looks. Part of me kind of wishes he just had a normal foot instead of the peg leg. Because I don't get a concept of I know he's a pirate, but why would a Transformer have an artificial limb like that?
That's where you just got to start coming up with cool reasons.
Because they don't have a medic.
Yeah.
Because pirates are cool.
Or if I was
because the foot can kind of turn into a parrot.
If I was a Transformer and I had like a leg removed, I would just, you know, take it as a sign. Just put my spark chamber in my leg so I could eject it and no one would ever aim for it.
He's thought this out.
Yep.
I just more or less, I just want ankle tilts out of him. That's all.
Doesn't one of his ankles tilt?
Yeah.
One tilts, the other one does not.
Yeah, the peg leg doesn't tilt because of the way that it goes on there, because I've got mine here in hand, too.
Just get two and swap the legs.
Yeah. I've got a friend who's going to do that.
There you go. Problem solved. I'm a problem solver.
Now, what kind of gets me is the beast mode, because it's... In the front, aesthetically, in the front half, he looks great. And in the back half, for some reason, just the way they designed him, it's just too sleek for me. Like, he kind of looks barren compared to the front.
Cat thing.
There's some room for playback there. That's how I kind of messed with it a bit. It's just, with all the different swivels for his thighs and stuff, like, there are prescribed ways to do it, but I think they give you enough play to be able to kind of go, like, if you don't like how sleek it is back there, you can, like, widen the thighs out, just unclip stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, I have a question, since everybody else has got them now. Is your guys' thighs not really stay together? Is it a very loose pull-apart?
Oh, like the way they're supposed to, quote-unquote, peg in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been very loose on mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I got mine, finally, from the big bad box deal that I think Gog and I both talked about plenty.
Yeah.
But it's just super loose to the point of it doesn't even feel like there's anything kind of clipping to hold it together other than just the fact that it's in.
That's a bummer. I know that like that whole system of its thighs like pegging like the thighs pegging to the rear body, right? Like that tab or whatever. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying his hips.
Oh, where they split?
Split.
Yeah.
To be wider for the cat mode or whatever.
Yeah, mine don't lock out at all. Like they'll compress at a glance.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say, my big issue with him is kind of the transformation because it's not the sip. I'll give him credit because it's not just a simple. He's standing up and there's robot.
Yeah.
So he actually does things, you know, he's a little bit different than your typical, you know, beast former. It's one step from part forming to how his lower lion legs get where they are in robot mode. But it leaves him without a lot of articulation in beast mode, which is kind of a downside for me. You know, when we're kind of used to really articulated toys now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the downsides where they tried to shrug convention and give him an interesting transformation, and they succeeded in doing it, but it came at that cost, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I still like the toy overall. There's just a few things I wish would have been done a little bit better.
I feel like a lot of the little qualms one can have with it, like it feels like there's always like something for like given to you for each one of those.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very, like, it doesn't do this, but that's because it does this kind of deal.
Right. See, as far as Magnus goes, I don't know why that toy can't get released with shoulders at work.
Sounds like that's really the common thing, then.
It's common on both, man. I'm starting to worry about the weaponizer.
Yeah.
But I still really love the design on him. I still like the transformation. I like that Magnus actually gets his own toys now, and they're actually really good toys.
I still haven't seen that one. I've been thinking of if I get it, I might just wait and grab the Arms Micron at a convention.
The only thing that upsets me is the fact that he kind of did the same thing that what happened to Power Core, because he comes with his Powerizer weapon. And it's this huge cannon that actually looks good. And it folds up into it, you know, it unfolds into his hammer. Mm-hmm. And it locks in place. And the LED isn't red. And it's like everything we wanted out of these things. And it's the last one.
Well.
I'm of two minds about that, because like Power Core was a concept I really liked. The Powerizers, their very concepts was kind of like, I guess.
Well,
but
I like the concept. It's one of the credits I give to the Dark of the Moon toy line, because it's this neat little action gimmick that keeps it from hindering the robot in any way. And you can swap them in between repaints to give you something new. It was actually a really good idea. Mm-hmm. But they wanted the light-up gimmick for the kids, and it got overcomplicated.
Eh. I feel kind of more just like I'm just kind of glad it's gone.
Oh, I'm glad it's gone, but at the same time, I'm kind of disappointed because they showed us what it should have been right there at the end.
Yeah. Also, it's because I Power Core is very dear to my heart, so I don't want to see them getting any kind of like play with the Powerizer weapons. Powerizer weapons don't get to ride in the same part of the bus as Power Core. They stay back there where they belong.
Jumping toy lines. Since I found them and I had a gift card to burn up, I grabbed the retail version of Onslaught and Vortex.
Mm-hmm.
So currently my brand new War of/Fall of Cybertron shelf currently has one disassembled Bruticus, one assembled Bruticus, and one Bruticus with no arms.
Excellent.
Still sounds like the beginnings of an addiction.
I'm perfectly fine, Mr. Lego. Jeez.
Bruticus is a worse addiction because there's only so much you can do once you have a whole lot of them.
And I'll say this, has Hasbro sent you anything for all of the Lego or all of the Transformers that you've bought?
Not Hasbro, no.
Okay, well, the Lego group has sent me stuff. Just saying.
You're so special.
You know, last time you talked about that thing you got, hell was raised.
That's all right.
Is that the life of a VIP?
Yep.
walking through fire?
I'm sick and half medicated. I really don't care. Whatever.
Good man.
Well, as I'm still waiting for Swindle and Blastoff to magically show up here, I will say it's the exact same toys. Nothing new to mention, but I will say Onslaught's probably got the best color schemes of the three so far.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue and the toxic green gives them a lot more character than the dull browns or the almost bootleg quality of the yellow and purple for the G2.
I'm still waiting for an Onslaught color scheme that I feel is as good as the retail version. I know that's playing with fire when I say that, but it's true. Like, the retail Onslaught has got a beautiful color scheme.
I know Vortex is the iffy one for a lot of people because it is very Euro G1 in design.
No, but it's glorious!
I know. Well, here's the thing. if you got G2 Bruticus, you might as well get this Vortex because he matches perfectly with Swindle.
Also, Vortex is, I think, my favorite of those five toys as standalones. I'm very biased.
I'm close to saying the same thing because as a toy, I like it better, and I still have my G2 Vortex, like the one Combaticon I ever had. I still really like how Blastoff looks.
As a standalone, I find he's very, very strong. He's got a lot of qualities that I think outweigh a lot of the issues one might have with him.
Yeah, well, on a pure toy design wise, I'd say somewhere not neck and neck with Swindle for me.
Yeah,
so that's my Combaticon update. I too took advantage of the buy one, get one half off at Toys R Us and picked up all of Soundwave's extra discs. I love how Rumble and Frenzy just kind of belly flop when they transform.
Yeah. I'm transformed.
It's just so perfect when he launches from Soundwave.
I still haven't messed with any of them, so I'm in the dark.
And they're basic little things. You get a nice Legion-sized toy that only works in the shoulders, so he manages to have less articulation than the originals.
Excellent.
Rat-Bat's cool. There's a lot more remolded on him than I figured there would be.
Yeah, I was curious how un-Laserbeak he was.
Yeah. Yeah, like, even the shape of the wings, that's actually a really nice touch. I also noticed that with all the extra little yellow or gold paint apps they gave him on the back, trying to kind of invoke the guns from the G1 toy, it made me look at the back of Laserbeak, and I never noticed that he's got the vents that were on the front of his guns on his original toy.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Just little subtle hints of the original weaponry, which is kind of a neat touch.
Yeah.
Ravage is special. He's probably the
hardest
one.
That's a consensus, I think.
How is it Ravage's two new official toys so far, and both of them sound like they're the worst of their thing that they're trying to do?
because they're about the worst of the thing that they're trying to do.
Ravage, man.
Like, yeah, I know. He's got a masterpiece coming out. Leave him alone.
That masterpiece better not suck. Like, he better not drag down another subline somehow.
I'm pretty sure it's revenge for the one that came with Hound that was really good.
I don't know. I just want good Ravage toys.
Ravage's problem with the Primes, with the Beast Hunter Soundwave, is that he's far too simple. The problem with him in Fall of Cybertron is that he's way too complicated. Half of him is untransformed when he pops out of disc mode, and he's the hardest one to get back into disc mode.
I'm just imagining Ravage just like curled up in a corner, just going like, "No one, you're never sat. None of you ever satisfied. Not too much and too little. Ah."
At the same time, I'm glad to have him because it's just not Soundwave unless he's at least got Ravage, Rumble, and Laserbeak.
Hmm. No, I'm pumped for the Ravage and Rumble masterpiece set so I can have the trio ride around in their boy.
Oh, yeah. And, well, they're nice pickups, and I like having a little stack of little squashed Energon cubes.
Yeah.
Away from current things, and since you already brought it up, apparently if I'm missing a Power Core toy, all I have to do is mention it on the podcast, and it magically appears in the mail.
Since everyone wants to get rid of them. I love the line, but that appears to be the intent with Power Core. I don't want it. Here, you have it.
Perfect little hand-me-down Transformers. Actually, Demons sent me Skyburst and the Aerial Bots to go with that Skyhammer that I had last time.
Yeah, the gentleman who made the cool little custom Spream at that TFCon or two ago.
Last year?
Was it last year? I thought it was the year that...
No, that was the auction year was last year.
Yeah, it was the year before. Yeah, last year is when you volunteered for me to get something from the auction, mm-hmm. and I found out afterwards. That was great.
And I paid for my hotel room in part with it.
Here, you paid for charity.
So, you know, I heard bad things about that set. I heard a lot of people didn't like the Aerial Bots. I got them out and played with them. It's okay.
I think that it helps that you're coming into the Aerial Bots after the first wave. Because the Aerial Bots were, for some people, their very first taste of Power Core. And it right. was the set that taught people yeah. what the limbs actually were.
I think I had a little bit more hope because I started out with the Combaticons.
Yeah, yeah. And the Combaticons were a lot better than the Aerial Bots. I didn't dislike the Aerial Bots. I thought that they got a bit of a poor rap for what they actually were, but...
Yeah, it's that first-time experience thing that gave them such a reputation. That was before we had Double Clutch, and now we have a Hindsight to work with.
That's right. Double Clutch was terrible.
Yes. But no, there's nothing particularly bad about him other than the yellow helicopter drone forms this skeletal thing I'm going to tentatively call an arm.
This is where I just say, welcome to third-party toys.
I know. If they'd done what the third-party Power Core sets are doing from the start... These things would have been so big.
I wonder how much they would have cost, though. That's the thing I always think about.
I don't even need the limbs to have robot modes. If they just had manual transformations, so they had like solid limbs and actual elbows and such.
That would have been cool. Like, just I think preserving the elbows was the main thing because at the end of the day, that's all that's really missing. Because the connection points are joints, so there are knees. It's just the arms being stuck stock straight that really makes it suffer.
Right. The irony is the only thing I was really looking for in Power Core was a whole series of Energon Optimus Primes.
Yeah.
That's all they had to do. They would have had my money.
It's all right. Energon Prime he's back. You know, he's a Platinum series toy.
Yeah.
Platinum quality.
Sure. Go with that. So yeah, those are the Aerial Bots, and in the same box, he threw in a bunch of packs of that 3D card game.
Oh, yeah. I love that game. That was so stupid. It was really stupid, but
yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, he sent me a few packs of the, like, three packs of the movie and, like, five packs of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up a few of them, and I put together I got Cheetor in one of the universe ones. It's, like, Transmetal 2 Cheetor made out of, like, what looks like plastic cardboard.
Yep.
And I put them together in beast mode, and I looked at them, and I got really depressed and didn't do the others.
They're a thing that you've got to kind of make into an activity that you're doing while you're watching something. Focusing on how those come together in any way while you're putting them together will just make you kind of go like, why is this happening? But like, if you just look at the end results, it's kind of amusing.
I'm just not sure how they thought this was working.
It feels like, if you mess with the movie vehicle ones, it feels like something cool is happening about halfway through. Just for a moment. Because you're like, wow, this is kind of, how is this going to come together? And then you see how it comes together, and you're like, oh, it doesn't. Okay.
Yeah, I feel bad having these things now.
Good work, good work.
I'm going to open up the rest on camera. We'll just see how...
That'll just be a sadness video after a while. There's a reason.
I know.
There's a reason why I opened them by myself.
Good. I'm gonna blare some Linkin Park and open all these up.
Good man. Good man.
Moving on from that, someone also sent me a Dark of the Moon mud flap.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it was fan mail or hate mail.
Funny story, the one that I got off of a fella actually is a little bit bent up, and so I've been thinking of getting a new one so I have one that isn't bent up.
I can't imagine paying the 12 or 13 bucks for this little thing.
It's a very silly toy.
Yeah.
It is. I think it's better than it could have been, like many Dark of the Moon Deluxes. There's some surprising ingenuity to it.
Well,
but,
yeah, I will give it that. It's better than the Revenge of the Fallen toy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the Revenge of the Fallen toy, except that it needed that last step for everything to click together, which I felt you got on the green one.
Yeah,
I ended up skipping the Dark of the Moons. Slightly regret it, but not a whole lot.
Mm. I mean, if you're ever going to get the Dark of the Moon twins, like, don't pay more than, like, $5 for them. But yeah. if you do get a hold of them, like,
that's not hard to do now.
Yeah, yeah, and there's interesting stuff. All the Dark of the Moon Deluxes for such an ignored toy line had some interesting ideas in them, I think.
Yeah. Like, I'll give them credit. I thought they stepped up really well from Revenge of the Fallen, because it's the same problem, like, I've said it before. You know, my big problem with Revenge of the Fallen Mudflap is he felt like he was overthought. Where
yeah.
I think that transformation could have been a good, like, five steps less than it ended up being. And the toy would have been more solid for it, which is kind of exactly what they did with the Dark of the Moon mud flap.
Yeah,
a lot of the Dark of the Moon toys work well that way. It's got my favorite Bumblebee.
Yeah, no, Dark of the Moon's a very underrated toy line full of designs that I can't try to tell someone they should actually buy, because it's like, if you're tired of the movie designs, yeah, it's just more movie toys. But
right,
pretty decent movie toys.
But no, it was just an interesting thing to play with.
Mm-hmm.
A thing to experience. Because I've been curious about it. Just because he didn't look too bad. He's just small.
Yeah.
Something else that randomly showed on my radar, though I actually bought this one. A Beast Wars 2 Dirge gun.
I always liked that guy's name.
Yeah. I got to look at this guy like, this is the thing that should have been named Waspinator. Because this, I mean, he looks like a Bugman Arnie with half his skin ripped off.
Yeah.
God, I love the level of remolding. It's just, like, absolutely ludicrous.
I still need to get some of those cyborg beasts. I've seen them for years, and they've always been the toys where I'm like, yeah, next year.
I can never find them for a price I actually want to pay for them. Like, this was a rare exception, and I got lucky. And at my current rate, I think I'm going to have Thruster and Max B in about 6 years.
Excellent. Timely.
Well, they're right up there with, like, the auto rollers for how long it's probably going to take to get all four.
Yeah.
But they're really cool toys. They're really demented remolds, and I love them for it.
I'm just so surprised that they never found a way to get stateside.
I know. Well, we had Universe Overbite for Hellscream. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I always figure, like, there's got to be, like, something Beast Wars they could do. Like, God, I always figured Thrustor, like, okay, give me, like, a troop builder of, like, Tarantulas' Cyber Raptors out of that thing.
Yeah.
I'd buy that in a heartbeat. Oh, well, pipe dream.
The Pipist.
Pipist. And last Transformer on my list. I now possess, finally, I possess a Masterpiece Sideswipe.
Excellent.
Nice. So how'd you come off on paint?
A little bubbly on the roof, but nothing, like, nothing that offends me.
I'm glad a lot of the folks I know ended up, at least, with good experiences on that stuff.
It's been my... God, I try to remember. I think it was Masterpiece Megatron the last time I got a Takara-released Masterpiece.
I've been trying to remember Masterpiece Megatron, because I'm the only person I know who doesn't hate that toy. And I know it hasn't been, like, ages since I messed with it, so I really want to mess with it again.
Well, it's probably rusted away by now.
Aww.
But, really digging on Masterpiece Sideswipe. I mean, it's a small toy for the price, but oh my god, the quality and the engineering that went into it.
Yeah, there's a reason why that toy ended up on a lot of top 10 lists or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I know people complain about the price for the size, but I think that's just a lot of people remembering how much they paid for MP1 and realizing this is only a few bucks cheaper, but a whole lot smaller.
And 9 years later, well, yeah. Okay, eight years later when it came out.
Right, right. But, you know, maybe it's just because I'm used to, like, figure art and web exclusive prices, but I'm fine with the price on them. I think I got what I paid for.
No, I do too. There was a great post about it. I forgot where I saw it on the boards now, but it's like part of what you're paying for is the ingenuity of the design. Like, it's not just you're not paying a price for a set amount of plastic necessarily. Like, you might be paying for build quality or ingenuity. Granted, you can argue about the build quality of the Masterpiece Sideswipe if you have really poor paint, but you know, in today's economy, it felt like a fine piece of toy.
Oh, yeah. If you view it this way, it's got the same level of quality that you would want to get from a third-party toy of the same size, and it's a lot cheaper than that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I really want Red Alert now.
You should get him. He's a good toy.
I know.
I know. I'm torn on which one I actually like more. I'm still not sure.
No, when money rolls around again, I'm probably going to pick up Red Alert as well. I'm so behind on Masterpiece toys.
I used to think, like, I was, and I realized I only missed MP11.
Well, I'm still... Jeez, I still need a Thundercracker, which I still see Toys R Us. I missed Rodimus and Grimlock completely.
I still need Thundercracker. I keep forgetting. He's always at a Toys R Us in upstate, but he's always like $75, and I'm like, eh.
I'm starting to notice Thundercracker is getting the bulk of the remolds lately.
Oh, he's blue. It's a good color for it.
What's weird? Well, you got the Masterpiece version, and that's cool because he's using like the new moldings. So he's kind of like the restored version of Masterpiece Seeker.
Yeah.
Or, if that's too expensive, you've got the Legends version that is remolded to have new guns.
The Thundercracker gets all the new toys.
Indeed. So yeah, I've got a lot more expensive toys to buy because I kind of want to like a whole shelf. Because this is the thing. Because I just put up a ton of new shelving. I rearranged like probably a third of my collection in the last few days. And I was thinking, I want a shelf to put my masterpieces on, because I've got Starscream and Skywarp that just have no real place to go, and, you know, I'd like to put Hercules with them. And then I realized that my shelf would have 4 toys on it.
Hmm.
So, not quite enough for a shelf yet.
That's why you gotta bite the bullet, bump up to a Detolf. Join the Detolf lifestyle.
Not joining any lifestyle right now, thank you very much.
Detolf lifestyle.
I can't afford lifestyles.
Detolf lifestyle is where it's at. It's where the cool kids are.
Uh-huh. Tell you what, I'm just going to focus on getting a Masterpiece Grimlock right now. And once I have that, then we'll talk about your lifestyles.
Detolf lifestyle. You know it.
So with that out of the way, yeah, that's my Transformers for the week.
All right, Aaron, it's your turn.
I already talked about Soundwave.
Did you invest in Soundwave?
No, I did not invest in Soundwave.
Do you have some wholesale Soundwaves you need to get rid of?
No. No. 50 plus, so... no. Thundertron, I can't remember if I had him in time for the last podcast or not. It was right in that window.
I legit don't remember.
So I have him here in front of me. Everybody's talked about him. Yeah, my only things are I'm pretty much in agreement. It'd be nice if his front legs in alt mode had articulation, but I do like the shoulder pauldron things. So to me, that's a forgiven. Wish his beard didn't so massively interfere with head articulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I don't know. I only have negs because everybody's talked about positives. I need to disassemble his gun to make a small sword, not the big weird light up sword. Still do not like the light box gimmick stuff. I'd say ask me questions, but everybody's had it, so all I can really do is me too's. Also got the War for Cybertron sideswipe.
Oh, do you have Jazz? I forgot.
Yes, I do have Jazz.
Do you feel sideswipe's an improvement, or how do you feel?
I do, I think. He definitely seems smoother than Jazz, even though I know it's the same mold, which is one of those weird things. I think I like the look of him a little bit better. He transforms... I want to say he transforms better, too. I don't know if... Maybe I just got used to the transformation with Jazz, so I know how to do it here, so I'm not thinking, it's kind of hard with, like, accordion top. And, again, it's another case of it comes with the giant accessory gun that I guess I've seen pictures of this gun working really well with the original Prime because of the way that Prime's fist, I think that original Prime's fist could rotate 90 degrees. So you can plug it in and make it look like all of this has come out of his arm.
Yeah.
Where most everybody else, it just looks like they're holding a really big gun. But that's the quick and dirty of the remolds and of what Aaron got this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm light on it and don't have any of the crazy Japanese stuff pre-ordered.
For some reason, I thought you had Soundwave.
No, I was holding off on Soundwave for a potential U.S. release because, especially with the news of it being at whatever showing up in, what was that, Australian?
Yep.
Toys R Us's or something?
Yeah, so that's Australian rumor mill at work.
Yeah, so I'll save $30 to $90 on that.
But you won't have it right now.
That's okay.
I thought I can
hold off on that.
I thought you were a hardcore.
See, when they release it over here, it'll probably already have the other cassettes with it.
I could see it coming with one additional cassette. Maybe not all of them. I may have to jump back and get some Masterpiece cassettes, but that's okay.
Well, I figure that's the only way they're actually going to be able to release the Masterpiece cassettes over here is if they at least pack in Rumble and Ravage with them.
Yeah, they don't have to release it, though. It's probably something that they'll use for their advantage, but not necessarily. Because to them, the price point is king. That's why we didn't get a trailer for Rodimus.
But we did get a trailer for Prime, and he sold pretty well.
Yeah, but it was size and able to get it there.
We had an interesting conversation about this last week, actually, like how they might do Soundwave. And because I was thinking, because I'm going to probably end up buying the American Soundwave as well, as long as it looks different, because I need excuses to have more Soundwaves.
Okay.
Because I need to have all the tapes in Soundwaves.
Oh, see, and I have a problem with Bruticuses. Okay.
Yeah, I need all, like, I'm hoping that someone makes fiction for Sound Blaster somewhere in IDW to be a different character, so I have a reason to purchase a Sound Blaster and have him stand with Soundwave. But a suggestion on Twitter came up, and not just on Twitter, you know, all over the place, of, like, what if the US one is a lot like Prime, where they change the colors to be more cartoony, like, change the silver to white and make everything a little bit more flat and matte and a little bit more animated looking. And then the question was, you know, would they pack him in with a tape, two tapes, three tapes? Interesting conversation. Anyway,
yeah.
All I got that's on topic, all I got this week, actually, I went to Walmart again, because I keep getting reports of them having Beast Hunters. I keep going there, and I keep seeing just literally empty shelves. Not even, like, toys I don't want, just literally just void. Big, empty spaces where toys once were. But I did find three of the four Creo Microchange Combiners, which are actually marked as Beast Hunters toys, which I think is kind of funny, because they're friggin' G1 is all get out.
Yeah.
But
well, it's the line that's current, so sell the line that's current.
Yep. But, yeah, I walked in there, and I grabbed me Devastator, Predaking, and Superion. There was, unfortunately, no Bruticus. I'm not in a rush to get Bruticus, but I do know that he is also the one with, he's got, like, the coolest-looking microchange vehicle mode, like, the really big onslaught vehicle mode. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to grab him, and I'm definitely after the microchange blind pack dudes that go with these. So I've only fully played with Superion so far, and while we've been talking, I've been messing with Devastator, or the Constructicons, and the Constructicons actually solve one of the problems I had with the aerial bots, which was that the aerial bots are, microchange is like this all the time, but the aerial bots, they've got a lot of parts form going on. Although for Superion mode, I figured out a way to get everything onto them, which I felt really good about. And with the Constructicons, even though it's not necessarily in their instructions, it's incredibly easy to put all of their pieces together for their individual modes. So, like, all the stuff for the robot Creon is, when you change it to vehicle build, you can easily stick everything onto there and have it look okay. At least in terms of the main build. But the combined modes, I've only built combined Superion so far, because I'm in the midst of building Devastator while we're talking. And it's really cool. The one problem I've had, which I found very irritating, is something that might be a Creo thing and not necessarily a brick building thing. That's where I need to talk to Aaron here for a second.
Okay.
So, all right, I'll be over here.
The bond of these bricks, right, is the pegs or the studs. Mm-hmm. So the studs form a friction bond that I believe is supplemented by a bit of an air vacuum bond, right?
There's no air vacuum. It's just the size of the studs on top should be just a shade smaller than the space between the cylinders on the underside of the brick.
So this is why I was asking
the cylinder and the wall.
This is why I was asking the question, because on Superion, I almost feel like there's some kind of air release going on, because when any part on him comes loose, it's not like a part just kind of falls off if I bump it the wrong way. It's if I tap it the wrong way, the part literally catapults off like a spring-loaded missile.
Okay, so the problem there is that the studs are slightly larger than the cylinder and wall on the inside.
So
what that means then is you're getting like the push through missile effect, where you're forcing a slightly larger thing to interact with a slightly smaller thing.
And where this kind of comes to head is the one thing the Creons have over Lego minifigures in a big way is their waist joint, because it's a single peg connection. That's actually a uniform to the stud size I discovered through the course of messing with these, because of the ways that they plug together. And unfortunately, because of that, when you twist them at the waist, they kind of start to undo the waist connection. Like, the peg starts to push itself out when you twist it, unless you're pushing in. Now, the way that the combiner body comes together is you take two torsos and using the neck peg on the bottom torso, you plug them together into an elongated torso. And then you plug a special pelvis piece into the bottom. So you have two of these connections going on that are holding the main body of the combiner together.
Okay.
And if you're messing with it and not thinking about it, it's easy to not notice until it's too late. And then you pick up Superion and his torso just kind of pulls itself apart as you're lifting him up.
Ugh.
Because it's held together by three of those waist connections. The main skeleton of these combiners, for those who haven't got them, is it looks like they all use the same thing. The torso is two upper bodies of Kreons with a special pelvis piece. You rip off the arms of the top upper body and you put on these specialized biceps and thighs, which clip onto specialized forearms and shins. And then the hands, quote unquote, are the lower bodies of Kreons. And then the feet are a headless sitting Kreon. And this is all, of course, dressed up with parts to look a lot better than how I described it. But there is basically a uniform build to all these combiners, and they're covered in enough studs and holes that, number one, it's not impossible to kind of just cram all the extra parts on there that are left over in a way that doesn't look too foreign, or at least that doesn't make it look any more unwieldy than it already does.
Okay.
And then number two, because of all this stuff and all the uniform sizes, if you get the blind-packed fifth member, I've saw a whole bunch of these threads on Cybertron.ca, thanks to some folks on Twitter, you can work a fifth Kreon in there in a way that's not impossible, which is the thing I find really interesting. And also, due to the nature of how they're built, they're actually kind of poseable in combined mode, because they got, like, limited ball joints for the shoulders and hips. They've got a waist joint, even though you have to make sure you're holding it together when you use it. They've got a neck joint. They've got elbows, they've got wrists, they've got knees, and they've got not only a swivel at the ankle, but they actually have the foot can tilt forward because its ankle is the hips of a Kreon, which are sitting down. So if you straighten those legs, the toe can kind of point downwards. So okay. they're really interesting, and I would recommend picking up at least, you know, one. I can't tell you which one you should get yet. So far, I've been having better overall experience with the Constructicons, although the Aerial Bot's vehicle modes are pretty interesting. The Constructicons do have the really silly thing of those vest pieces that cover up really, really slavish and interesting chest detail that's tampographed. However, thanks to John Spanring and thanks to just trying it, it is literally zero effort. You bust out an X-Acto knife and just knife off the front of it to turn it into a cape piece. Because yeah. The Aerial Bots all use cape pieces, which is one of the advantages of that set. The Constructicons, three of them have these vests, and then one has a cape piece, so I just knifed the front off of the vests, and now they all have cape pieces. And that's
would one come with a cape and not the others?
I don't know, but I think it's because the cape gives them four studs on their back, while the vest gives them one central stud on their back.
And the rough thing is, not to say that Lego's better, but Lego, for a very long time, has had the, like, uniform backpack piece where it's a hollow neck piece to go over the shoulders and just a one-by-one flat on the back to hang anything off of.
Basically, if you knife the front off of these vests, you fix the problem. And I can tell you, this plastic, my knife ate through it like butter. So it's not hard to do, and it's worth doing because the tampographs on the chests on these guys are fantastic. Like, they are, I mean, the Kreons use a lot of uniform helmet sculpts and a lot of similar helmet sculpts and very similar faces and stuff. But all of the chest and leg tampographing is unique to the character. And it really sets them apart, and it really kind of just, especially on these guys, on the Aerial Bots and Constructicons, it's intricate. It makes them just spring to life in a manner I did not actually get from the preview wave of the Microchangers. I'm actually enjoying these a lot more. The Microchanger Wave 1 was fun but forgettable. The Aerial Bots and Constructicons have really captured my imagination, especially the Constructicons. You kind of have to get over the fact that Mixmaster doesn't really turn into a cement truck. He just sort of turns into a four-wheeled vehicle with a rod on the back, like a gigantic exhaust pipe. But I'm really impressed with the steps taken to improve on the formula. And the combiner tech, you know, for all the parts forming that comes with it, because it's not a Transformers toy, it is still pretty interesting. And Yeah, I'd recommend at least one of these. Like, if you have any interest in Creo still, or in the nature of the Creons being these little emoji minifigures that have, like, kind of dinky alt modes, like, the combiners take it to another direction that is, it's more interesting than it could have been. There's really cool ideas in here, and a lot of just direct nods, not just the Tampagrass, but some of the stickers you put on, like on Superion. There's a piece that forms his kind of like it's not his pelvis, but it's like right above his pelvis, and there's a sticker that you can put on it that is basically a sticker version of the red crotch plate from G1 Superion. So okay. It's just these neat little touches that bring things up, and there's stickers you put on either sides of the shins and forearms to make them look like on Devastator, they're all kind of uniform purple with on the forearms, like that kind of like lined design. Whereas on Superion, they're actually different for each forearm, because they're meant to kind of more represent the two different aerial bots who turn into each arm. Since on the aerial bots, the arms were more so the jets, whereas on Devastator, the forearms were just these purple pieces. So it is just a lot of really cool little ideas in here that take things beyond what they could have stopped at, and what I felt like they stopped at in early Creo. But at the end of the day, it is also a build toy, not a Transformers toy, and you have to know that going in. I still haven't messed with Predaking. I watched a video about him, because I wanted to watch a video about these to see what they're like. Predaking is kind of funny in that a lot of the animal heads are the same with different horns stuck into them. It's basically like it's an animal head for Razorclaw, and it has ports in it, like it has peg holes in it. So you stick horns into the sides to make it into a bull head, or a horn on the front to make it into a rhino head. Also, I think they messed up something here, because they gave new names to two of the Predacons, Headlock and Torox. But I think they swapped them, because Headlock is the bull and Torox is the rhino. And I want to say Headstrong was the rhino, so he should be Headlock. So there's a little name swap that happened on there. But I haven't messed with Bruticus. I heard he's the best one. Out of the ones I messed with so far, it's of the two. I think I like Devastator a tad more. The aerial bots also have a problem where you have to clip their... On two of them, you clip wings onto their biceps, and the clip is not very tight, so the wings just kind of flop around. And that is troublesome. But the other cool thing about the Constructicons is you get basically, like, brick parts in Constructicon green and purple, which is kind of fun. Anyway, that's all I got this week, unfortunately. I wish I had more to talk about, but Aaron, as a brick guy, do you have any questions about Creon combiners as a LEGO enthusiast?
Not really. I guess they were appearing at a Myers, which is a kind of big box place that's always weird with toys. Sometimes it's super early, sometimes it never shows up. And they had a very large space for them, but none of them the couple times I looked. So I think I want to get one of them to be able to fiddle with it.
Yeah.
And go from there.
From what I've heard, if you want to only get one, Bruticus is the one. Yeah. Another problem with the aerial bots is that a lot of them are very samey. And I'm getting that thing with two of the Constructicons as well. Yeah.
They only have like one wing set anyway. I think they might have two.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, one of the interesting things is Silverbolt actually uses big boy pieces, as I call them. Like, he doesn't just use like little single stud pieces. Okay. He uses actual larger pieces to form a slightly bigger jet, or have a bigger set of wings in robot mode. And Onslaught does the same thing for his vehicle mode. He uses huge pieces to form into this like enormous vehicle.
Okay. So yeah, I'll if I see him, I'll probably check one out and kind of weigh it from that.
Yep. From just, what I heard, it's the Combaticons is what you want.
Just damn the whole set.
Yep. To get your Lego snob fully on. Like, this ain't my bricks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then I guess we can move into off topic. I got nothing. Aaron, what about you?
I'll kind of continue the brick building.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Ta-da.
You should have, geez, this segment should have a sounder or something by now.
Yeah. So the only new Lego stuff I've gotten is some minifigs wrapped up, some of the Series 9 collection. I'm down to just one out of that I'm missing, because there were so many good ones in that I had like three that I was kind of on. And then it's like, well, that's only three. And then I have the complete set. And so that little bit of completionist itch is hitting me. So if anybody wants to send me the Forest Maiden, just let me know.
Forest Maiden.
Yes. It's the, it's like Maid Marian. It's a woman in forest green with like braided hair and a bow.
Ah, okay. I was going to say that was an astoundingly girly name for a Lego figure. I don't want to know why.
But it's something that I think is like two to a case. And a friend of mine sat there and went through two to three cases worth of the minifigs, kind of typing it as we went. And we found so many cops and space orcs, actually. And
Games Workshop doesn't want to hear about that.
Yeah. Right. But we were surprisingly short on it. This had three females, because the females have like the slope brick. It's supposed to be a dress, and it's a gypsy, the forest maiden, and another one that I'm blanking on right now. But we only found two of the three. So still some searching to do. But of stuff that I built that I think I may have talked about getting before, I built the Lego Mine dump truck that I got for like 50% off clearance. And it's a big honking dump truck. And then the one that excited me a whole lot actually was the concrete truck that just came out last month that I'd been interested in it and just had kind of passed on it. Then I realized that it had the minifig Aaron in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I went, oh, okay, well, now I got to get it. And it actually has flutes inside of the drum on the concrete drum. So you fill it up with little one-by-one round plates, and then you turn a knob on it, and it rotates it. And you do that enough, and it starts working those pieces out as like an Archimedes screw, like the way that real concrete trucks work.
Oh, cool.
And so that was neat. And then also, just today in the mail, for being a VIP member that I guess spent over a certain threshold, the current idea is about $500 on the VIP program, I got a chrome red minifig keychain. It's like their VIP symbol is this little red minifig. And so that came in as a keychain.
And so that means you're a fancy pants Lego buyer now.
So yeah, I'm thinking about whenever I go to the Lego store in the future, just kind of drop my keys on the... Oh, I'm sorry.
Just flash it at them.
Not only do I have your little car that anybody can get, but kabow! And then I see that they're selling them off to the side and cry a little bit. But
I'm a fancy pants!
Yeah. Don't you know? But actually, the thing that excited me most in that was that the Palace Cinema, which is the next modular thing that's like the Chinese theater, is potentially going to have an early sale period for VIP members.
Ooh.
And if that's something that happens in store, that trip may be happening a lot sooner than I thought it was going to be. A lot sooner, I say 2 weeks sooner than I thought it was going to be. But
it looks good.
Are you going to?
We have this discussion already.
Are you going to invest in it?
Yes, heavily.
50 cents.
I'm going to take all of the money out of my 401k, all $12 I think that's in there right now, and invest in a quarter share of an eighth share of one of those sets. So,
all right.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it for off topic for me. I've been trying to save money and pay those bill things off.
Bills.
Yeah.
Who uses those anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Our penny's officially dead.
Yeah.
Loblaws today had a sign up saying, we will take pennies, but we won't give them back, and we will round down any prices if you're paying cash. If you pay cash, you can save up to 4 cents.
Woo.
It's a true story.
So figure out what the breakout is after tax and buy things in like four batches to save yourself 8 cents.
Yep.
Stick it to the man.
I can get real pinchy with this.
Jeez.
Except I'm way too lazy.
Yeah, I've probably got whole bins here full of Canadian pennies that I can now set aside for future value.
You're going to invest in pennies?
Well, yeah, now that they've been discontinued, their value should skyrocket by at least 50%.
except for the reason why they're discontinued, which is that there's too damn many of them. Well, that's why I like to say they're discontinued. I'm sure there's actually a good real reason. I don't like having to think.
Yeah, the whole thing is then that's going to collapse the American penny, because about half the time, if I get pennies and change, I get a Canadian one.
Yep. We're going to wipe your penny out, too, right after ours.
Canadian pennies just assimilating the pennies of other cultures.
Yep, and then self-destructing. All right, well, I guess that means, Omegas, you can take us out of here with your off-topic.
Well, real quick, a update on the Wizard Ring collection: Hurricane Dragon, Thunder, Smell, Copy, and Fize, who got on my nerves because they changed the candy.
Is it not Ramune anymore?
I don't know what it is. Like, I haven't taken it out, but I've got this like enormous Ziploc bag full of little round soda candies. And I opened this one up hoping, ooh, one more for the bag, and it's this, like, I don't know, it's this thing where it looks like it's supposed to be, like, four hearts, and it's, like, disc shape, that you're supposed to, and it's segmented, so you're supposed to break them off and have, like, little tiny candy hearts that are easy to choke on.
Were you investing in soda candies?
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's right, they crashed the market, now yours are worth something. Companies are like, messing with our livings.
I feel like I have a perfect streak that was broken. Oh, well.
Send an angry letter. They'll send you some Wizard-branded donuts.
See. From the same guy who sent me the Mudflap, also threw in a Thundercats Wily Cat.
That's, that sure is a toy.
Yeah. It's a piece of plastic. I'll give it that. Yeah, it's a child-sized character of an already small toy line, so, yeah, it barely does anything. The only thing noteworthy on it is that the board itself is gimmicked as hell, and the packaging does not tell you about one single bit of it.
Yep. I have both of the little kid Thundercats, because I saw them at a Five Below for $4 a piece.
Wow.
First time I ever went to a Five Below, they had all these Thundercats.
I feel so bad for that toy line.
Yeah, prime place to buy them is Five Below. A lot of people would feel bad.
It really didn't deserve to fail as hard as it did.
And I want to say, I'm not trying to pass judgment on Five Below, because that was a friggin' cool place.
Well, now we all got our little discount stores that are they're worth visiting. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, purple price tags.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so onto a more substantial action figure. My D-Arts Rockman came in.
So how are you liking it?
He's tiny too.
I've heard some not so kind reviews on that toy.
Really? Because I really can't fault him in any way. Like, my only issue would be that his arms don't really have the clearance to get any farther down, so they're always held out a little bit. But that's about it, really. I mean, it's a D-Arts. The articulation's all there. Joints are all solid. Nothing wrong with that. I can't tell if he's supposed to have... Well, you know, I'll say this. The elbows aren't double-jointed or anything. He's a little small for that. I can't tell if the knees are supposed to rotate or not, because they look like it, but they're stiff, so I'm not risking anything.
Just twist it until it explodes.
Yeah, just grab and pull.
I did that once.
Come on, you gotta figure these things out.
But, no, I mean, I don't see where the hate would come from. I don't really see where he does anything wrong. You know, he gets extra faces, he gets extra busters and hands and whatnot, and little extra characters that are better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, I skipped him myself, so I don't really know. I caught some chicken scratch on Twitter.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that too, but I having him in front of me, been goofing with him for a few days now, I don't see where that comes from.
All right.
So, yeah, looking forward to Forte slash Bay slash Bass, whatever you want to call him.
Always Bass.
Thank you, crummy translation dub.
Yep. It's in the dub. His name is now Bass forever.
It's nice. You can put him on a plaque and then push the button and it'll sing songs to you.
I remember those. Whatever happened to those?
I think they were all set on fire and rightfully so.
They're next to all the ET cartridges.
That's topical.
Is that where all the injectors went to?
I need to start talking trash on injector is a good toy. I'm just gonna
There's a guy in Indianapolis that has 50 plus of them for sale.
Like, I invested a whole lot into injector, okay? Like, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a professional.
No, he moved to Japan, where they renamed him Rata Rata, and then he became a Kamen Rider, and all lived happily ever after.
I love Blendrons.
Final thing I managed to get this week. A friend of mine in Canada who I've known, I want to say, geez, over 12 years now. And it's an internet friend, so that's like, you know, a century.
That's how long the internet's been around.
Sent me a late Christmas present in the form of cash specifically to go buy a Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, good lord.
She has random bouts of kindness that way.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Get Pushmo and get Mighty Switch Force. And you'll be set.
Okay, noted. No, it came with one caveat. The first game I had to buy was Mario Kart 7, so I've got that too.
Still haven't played that. I'm still playing Mighty Switch Force. I'm actually still playing Pushmo.
Here's the thing. This is not the first Mario Kart scheme she's had. She got me Mario Kart Wii one Christmas because she was sick of waiting for me to get it because she really wanted to play me online. What she wanted to do was completely own me with red shells all day. Problem was, I turned out to be really, really good at Mario Kart Wii.
To the point where... shells?
No. I was in first all the time. I didn't hit blue shells.
I gotta use blue shells.
So this is her second attempt to school me at Mario Kart, and we're still seeing how that's gonna turn out.
Watch out for blue shells, that's all I'm gonna say.
Uh-huh. I've got a shirt where it's like an old 1950s style drawing of a guy's rearview mirror, and you see like his panicked look as a red shell's coming up behind him.
That's the thing, is everyone's afraid of red shells. Everyone forgets about the blue shells, man. I got top-tier blue shell strats, all right? Like, I know I'm...
No, actually, it is a blue shell in the shirt. What am I thinking?
Exactly, that's my blue shell strat. I make you think it's a red shell, and you ignore it. I got lots of strats.
Freaking blue shell. But no, so far I'm enjoying it. And apparently I've got good eyes for 3D because it doesn't fry my retinas when I play it.
Yeah. There are some games that are good with it and some games that aren't so good with it.
I kind of figured that. That seems to be the case with pretty much any Nintendo technology.
Yeah.
But it works well on Mario Kart 7. I mean,
it's great in
Pushmo. You get a field of dimension. So there's only so much I can do with one game, but so far I'm enjoying my experience.
Excellent. I still have to play that new one.
There's plenty of stuff on the market that you can get.
I've been eyeing it. You know, I gotta be ready because there's a new Pokemon game coming out.
I'm so glad I got off that train.
Yeah, me too.
Annual games are the worst thing to get stuck into.
No, I'm still kind of enjoying them. Though, we did come across one problem. See, it turns out the new versions are named X and Y. Well, when you search Google for videos of Pokemon X, you don't get gameplay footage.
Well, what do you get?
I'll just leave it to your imagination.
Let's just pretend I don't have one.
Kids, don't Google it.
Please don't Google it.
Oh, it's like Pokemon swearing and stuff. That's so badass.
Uh-huh.
Nexus Maximus.
All I'm going to tell... All I'm going to say is the save search filter does nothing.
Well, no, that's because you turn it off by default.
Well, yeah, who rides around without the safe search filter on? That's the fettered internet. I like to ride my internet unfettered. Let it squeal a little bit. What? Hi.
Well, while your internet is squealing, I am done talking about my stuff for the week.
Oh, okay. Well, I've almost built Devastator here. I forgot to mention something interesting. And now I forgot what it was. I was all ready to tell Aaron something really cool, and I forgot what it was. Thanks, Aaron.
You're welcome.
I remember what it was now. So I said that they've got, like, these bicep pieces and like, these pieces that are the upper arms and the lower arms and the upper legs and the lower legs. Mm-hmm. They're the same pieces, actually, and they give you five of them. So they give you actually five limbs just in case you somehow obliterate one of the limbs. They give you another upper and lower piece, which is kind of cool for doing your own your own mocking with this set. I used a word that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all we got this week. Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to send us a listener voicemail, our voicemail inbox number is 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. We'll talk to you again later. We'll be talking to you again possibly right before Valentine's Day. I'm not sure. We'll see. But have a good one, ladies and gentlemen. Happy February.
Some badass perpetrators, they're here to stay.